And don't forget, the sign-in sheet is going around. Make sure you sign the sign-in sheet, otherwise I can't tell that you are here. And I definitely want to know that you're in class, so be sure you sign it, even if it passes you by somehow or another. Come on down to the front of the class and sign it before you leave the room. All right, so that's just your receipt that you were in class. Does anybody have any questions? New? No, I don't see any hands. That's good. Make sure you bring your class materials to lab if you have lab today. I think there's two. There's one at 1 o'clock and there's one at 4:30. So make sure you bring your textbook and your lab manual with you. If you come to lab without your lab manual, you're going to be lost and it's like not being there. So I'll have to count you as being absent. And if you're absent the first day, you're a no-show. So you got to bring your class materials. Yeah, you can sign it on the back. Just don't sign it in somebody else's name. That way I kind of know you're there. Okay, so if you still want to add the class, today will be the last time you can. I'll take roll call at 1 o'clock at lab and then at 4:30. And if there are no-shows, then I'll replace the no-shows with people off the wait list. And if I have to have more people than that, then I'll take petitioners. Okay, so that's how that goes. Okay, so last time, we talked a little bit about scientific method, and I just want you to know, well, you probably should know some things about it, but the basic, most important thing about scientific method is what? What does it give us? It gives us reliable information. That's the most important thing. That's why we put up with all those different steps and statistics, right, and taking good notes and all that, and experimental group and control group, is because we want to get information that we can count on, that's trusted information. So that's really the point of the scientific method. Then we started talking about response loops. What does a response loop always end with? A response, that's right. What produces a response? Okay, I'm not quite sure I heard. What kind of thing produces a response? Okay, an effector. Yeah, here's an effector. Maybe you said that, I just didn't quite hear it. And you should have on the tip of your tongue the different kinds of effectors there are. There are autonomic effectors and then somatic effectors. What are some autonomic effectors? Heart muscle. Autonomic meaning you don't have voluntary control over it. So cardiac muscle. Skeletal muscle. Nope, I don't agree with that one. Glands, that's two. We want one more. Cardiac glands and smooth muscle. Yeah, you don't have control over smooth muscle. And what is the one effector that belongs to the somatic control system? It's only skeletal muscle. That's the only thing that you can control in your whole body voluntarily is skeletal muscle. Okay, so some of these autonomic organs you can influence. You can't directly control them, but you certainly can influence them with certain kinds of activities. Like for instance, if I say right now, put all your books away, okay, get out a calculator and a pencil, we're gonna have a pop quiz. Okay, and I have it right here. So what happened to your heart rate right now? It went up, that's right. You didn't have control of it, but I had control of it. And if you practice meditation techniques, you can sort of influence it a little bit, right? But you can't really control it like skeletal muscle. Okay, so here's that response loop once again, starting with the stimulus. The integration center has a couple pieces to it, and it does something special. What does the integration center have? Yeah, it has a set point, which is just the average value of some physiologic parameter. And what's the integration center responsible for? Making a decision on what to do to see if the information coming from the sensor right here is different than what the set points should be. If there's an error in those two signals, then the integration center has to make a decision on what to do. And if this is a person in a healthy state, a healthy compensated state, then the response should subtract from the stimulus, and we call that a negative feedback loop, and that will then drive that parameter to the set point. All right, so we were talking about, and don't forget, that's an important exam figure, yes, for sure, but it's also an extra credit drawing today at the end of lab. All right, you're just going to draw this on a blank piece of paper, so make sure you know all of these components of a response loop, the correct order, and how to draw this out as a flow diagram, okay? And put in the negative feedback loop here as well. Okay, so there are two kinds of feedback. Negative feedback is any kind of body mechanism By which any change from an ideal normal value is made smaller. Like for instance, if your body temperature starts to heat up, negative feedback will make it do what? Make it cool down, back to normal. Okay, so that change is made smaller or it's resisted. Negative feedback leads to a compensated healthy state and maintains homeostasis. So I'm gonna be asking you a lot probably throughout this lecture. There's just a little bit of it. Okay, so the response subtracts from the stimulus, and that's why we call it negative feedback, right? So this is really, even though we call it negative feedback, this is the good kind of feedback that maintains homeostasis and a healthy state. Positive feedback, on the other hand, is some kind of body mechanism where some change from an ideal normal value, that which we call a stimulus, is made greater. So if your body heats up, this mechanism is going to make your body get hotter. And then if that mechanism still is in play, then that increase in temperature is going to make your body get hotter and hotter and hotter. And what did I say last time? Eventually what happens under that circumstance is your body gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. Yeah, you explode, right, in spontaneous human combustion. Okay. Well, guess what? That's just a hypothesis on my part. That's not really theory. I can't really say that I've seen any scientific evidence to support that. So you should know what the difference between a theory and a hypothesis is, right? Okay, if I claimed it to be a theory, then you guys probably should walk out of the room. Okay, so the response adds to a stimulus for positive feedback, moving the system farther and farther away from set point. So this is just some text telling you how you can observe and interpret or analyze some graphs. If you see a physiologic parameter moving up and down, but it's always moving back to the set point, what kind of feedback is operating? You might know any, might not know a single thing about them,